Thank you, Pearsons. Appreciate that. And John 3:16, very familiar verse of Scripture and one of the most loved verses of Scripture in all the Bible, maybe the most preached on verse of Scripture, maybe the passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know how many times we've quoted that verse, probably maybe the most memorized verse other than Jesus wept. That one's memorized a lot too, but one of the most memorized verses. Soul winners give it often. You talk to your loved ones, you want them to know God loves you, and you want them to know about the Savior's love. We are on a theme of 2013, for such a time as this, and February starts the theme, A Time for Love, A Time for Love, and we are going to go right where it starts, and that is the Savior's love, the Savior's love. I could not think of it. In fact, I looked all over the Scripture thinking, well, you know, John 3:16, maybe I'll find something else. There's just not a better way, not a better place to go to as we talk about the Savior's love than John chapter 3 and verse 16, and what a blessing, for God so loved the world. Isn't it wonderful that God loves you? What an amazing thing to get, and I want you to get that this morning. God loves us, and it is the Savior's love. It is a special love. It's not just any love. It's not just somebody who loved you enough to buy you dinner. It's not just somebody who loved you enough to buy you a new suit. It's not somebody who loved you enough to give you a couple dollars. No, it's somebody who loved you enough to die for you, the Savior's love. Father, thank you so much for that love, and we rejoice in that love, and we come together today to praise you for the Savior's love. As we look at these two verses, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us into the truth, and God, that it will be life-changing as we look at the Savior's love. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have you help me out here a little bit. Take your songbooks, turn to 185. 185, as I have been putting this message together, songs just kept coming to mind. And I appreciate Brother Don, and I don't know when he put together the song list, but I know the choir, the opener this morning was about the love of God. And I praise the Lord for that song, or verse 180, song 185 is what I'm preaching on this morning, the Savior's love. And you can join in with me and sing it with me, or I'll just, and it won't be like the other night when I sang, by the way, that was bad. But anyway, let's all sing just the first verse. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Isn't that awesome? My Savior's love. How marvelous, how wonderful. Many, many songs have been written about our Savior's love, and we're going to sing some of those as we go through the message today. And you think about our holidays, you know, it's all about his love for us. The holidays we celebrate anyway, the world has kind of corrupted the holidays. Of course, we just recently celebrated Christmas, and he loved us enough to come and die for us on a cross, born to die, one of my favorite cantatas, thinking about Jesus coming to die. That's the only reason he came. He didn't come for a holiday, didn't come, so that everybody could buy gifts for one another. It's not wrong to do that. He came to be the gift. He came to pay the price for our sins. And of course, we are fast approaching Easter, and we'll celebrate that he died for us, but more than that, he rose again for us, and praise the Lord for that. Thanksgiving, we should be celebrating, being thankful for what he's done for us. You've never been loved till you've been loved by God. My Savior's love is marvelous. It is wonderful, and our song shall ever be. You know, you may not sing it now, you may not be as excited now, but I promise you on the streets of gold one of these days, you're going to be excited about your Savior's love. And boy, some of the great, great songs about the love of God. You know, it's not about feeling good. It's not about, how excited you might be or whatever. It's about, boy, God's so great. And really, our praise ought to be to Him, and it ought to be to His love. Well, I've got some points I want to go through. Number one is the grace of His love. Our scripture says, for God so loved the world, for God. That's amazing to me. The song Amazing Grace, of course, we all know that. But I want to want you to go to 188, and I want you to think about this 188 beautiful song, the love of God, and sing it with us. And again, I do have a tendency to start too high. Please forgive me. I can't help it. It just happens. But anyway, 188, let's just sing the first verse. And I want you to think about these words. You're going to help me out, Jackie? All right, very good. 188, you might as well stay there then. You have your Bible? All right. Well, it's John 3:16. You probably know it. All right, amen. The love of God. All right, give me an intro. I would start there we go. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Think about it now. The grace of His love for God. Think about that. For God. God, who's God? God doesn't have to do anything with us. Do you understand? God doesn't need us. For God so loved the world. We don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve the earth. We watched night after night the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico and loved that. Night after night. And each time we commented on what God does for us and how God provides this world for us and all the things God provides. Isn't it wonderful? All that God provides for us. But yet, verse 16, the provision of God here, the love of God, it's so amazing, our Savior's love for God. Well, God is love. The Bible says in 1 John 4 and verse 8, there is no love without God. But He didn't have to. And isn't that the essence, really, of love? It's doing what He didn't have to do. It's the grace of His love. Do you understand? There is no love without God. There's none. And the essence of God's love is that God Almighty would even consider you and I, let alone love us. I mean, He knew that we would sin. He knew that Adam and Eve would sin against Him. By the way, don't blame Adam and Eve. He knew you'd sin. And He knew I would sin. For God. It's amazing to start off that verse. Maybe that's why John 3:16 is so precious to us. Because of the way it starts. For God. For God. What do you mean? Well, the Bible said in verse 15, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. For God. The grace of His love. Oh, listen to me. The Savior's love screams grace. That God would even consider you and I. I guess the fact that there's no love without God, to me, the worst thing about hell is there's no love. The worst thing about God, the worst thing, the fact that God is not there, and therefore there's no love there. You see so many homes and so many people who are so sad and going through so many tough times. We go through tough times as Christians. I think most of the people here are saved people. We have some hard times. We get done wrong, or we get hurt somehow, or we have financial problems, or we have health issues, and we all do. But the thing about all of that is this. They have the same kind of things out there without God and without love. The grace of His love is number one. And it's seen in the words, for God, for God. He didn't have to. He didn't have to come. He didn't have to create the earth. He didn't have to give us all that He gives us. He didn't have to send His Son to die for us. The grace of His love. Number two is the greatness of His love. And it's just a little two-letter word, so loved. The greatness of our Savior, the Savior's love, the greatness of, for God so loved. He so loved. Look, go back to 188, the love of God. Let's sing verse 3 together. I love verse 3. Wow. I'll tell you what, this is such a blessing. Are you ready? Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. It's so great. It's so great. You can two-letter words, so, dot, 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 amen? So, infinity. How do you describe the love of God? If you were to fill the ocean with ink, if you were to write across the sky, if the stalk of every kind of plant were the quill, and you had all those filled with ink, you couldn't write the love of God. There's no way to describe it. It's so great. The greatness of His love. Our Savior's love. How do you describe it? It's not possible. For God so loved the world. Every time I read it, I think about a little child, and when he's described, it's so big. And in your mind, you think, wow, it must be big. And when you read John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You see the greatness of our Savior's love. So big. Words can't express it. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this. Greater love hath no. We've known love. I love my wife. I believe my wife loves me. But we can't even imagine. I mean, our love is so small compared to His love. I mean, you have people you love. You love your children. You love your spouse. You love people around you. But it's so tiny compared to the love of God. The greatness of our Savior's love, the greatness of His love, it's so big that words cannot express it. He so loved. He so loved you. He, you know, you sit here today and you say, well, I'm not even saved. Understand this. He so loved you. He so loved you. Didn't matter who you were. Didn't matter what you did. He so loved you. What's that talk about? It talks about the cost for our love. He so loved me. Didn't matter what it cost. So He gave His only begotten Son. Gave the best. The most. Gave it all. The greatest cost. You say, well, I love my wife. Would you give anything for her? Would you give anything to please her? Would you give anything to make her happy? Would you give anything to save her? See, our love is so small compared to God's love. He gave his only begotten son. By the way, he gave something, not only was it the greatest cost, his only begotten son, but it was what no one else could do. No one else could do it. Couldn't be provided by anyone else. There was only one that could die for our sins, because it was one that was spotless, sinless. We have a lot of good people here, a lot of good people, but not one of us, not one of you, could die for the sins of any other. Why? Because we're sinners. But he came. He came. The Savior came. And he lived a perfect life, though he was tempted in all points, such as we are. But the Bible says, yet without sin. No one else could pay that price. Again, let's go back to the grace. He didn't have to. Not one time did he have to. But the greatness of his love, he gave his only begotten son. He gave what no one else could do. It says in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Lifted up on an old rugged cross. Even so must. There was no other way. That whosoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. Oh, listen, the greatness of our Savior's love. He did what he didn't have to do. I said it earlier. It just always amazes me. He didn't have to. God so loved the world. So, in other words, whether you receive him or not, he still loved you. You know all the people cursing the name of God, and today is, you know, it's a big party day, right? Oh, anybody. You know, my wife said today, she said, honey, you know, I think the reality is kind of hitting me that there's a lot of people really don't care about the two teams. They just want a party. Boy, that's true. Especially down where that's happening. Oh, talk about chaos. And all those people that are there that are lost, and many using the name of God in vain and cursing the name of God. Do you understand? He loves them. Whether they receive him or not. That's in that little word, so. He so loved the world. And he loved the world so. He so loved us, didn't matter what we look like. It didn't matter. I have to be honest. You know, when I was first saw my wife as teenagers, you know, I didn't think there was a prettier person on the face of the earth. Aww. Thank you. And I mean, honestly, it didn't. You know, I mean, that's the thing. But so that's kind of, you know, a little bit of carnal kind of love there. But God saw us and loved us so. That it didn't matter what we looked like. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And you know, he loved the world. He so loved the world. What's that mean? Well, it means Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And every child sings, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And that he so loved us, he told us so. He didn't have to, but he did. You know, whosoever. He so loved the world, and the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. That's what's in that little two-letter word, so. Whosoever. What's that mean? Well, that means Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world, all of them, everybody. All the little children, all the big people, everybody. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter if they're Jew, Gentile, black, red, white, brown, yellow, Asian, African, South American, North American, Eskimo, European, Australian, every wicked sinner, every non-wicked sinner, hello, if there is such a thing, even the good sinners, the religious sinners, all, any, every sinner, rich, poor, fat, skinny, tall, short, he loves them all.
Amen.
Amazing, isn't it? Yeah. That's the greatness. And it's all wrapped up in that little word, so. For God so loved. As you think about God's love, again, we have a song, Somebody Tried. And even there, you know, the sky, I'm going to write it in the sky. You ever think about the sky? It's big. But God put it in a little two-letter word, so. Loved, so. For God so loved. My Savior's love, the greatness of His love, it is so obvious. You know, in Romans 5 and verse 8, it was while we were yet sinners. In Psalm 142 and verse 4, the psalmist said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Do you understand when nobody else cares? You ever kind of feel like that sometimes? You know, no man would know me, he said. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. But in the next verse, he said, I cried unto thee. I cried unto thee, O Lord. Yeah. And boy, we can all testify to that. No man cared. And it makes me think of 178. Let's go there. I want everybody to sing that. 178. Jesus loves Eve. See, as you think about all the people God loves, now think about this, all right? I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. You know, as you go around and you go to work and you go around your loved ones, you go around your neighbors and you tell people about Jesus' love and you witness to folks, and we ought to be doing that. Maybe you teach a Sunday school class or you preach every now and then. Don't forget, as you're telling them how much He loves them, don't forget to just kind of stop and look up and say, and I'm so glad you love me. Amen. For God so. Don't underestimate that little two-letter word there. Don't sell that thing short. That's the greatness of our Savior's love. That two-letter word. He so loved the world and all the wickedness that goes on in our world. Praise the Lord, He loved every one of them. But draw a circle around yourself and say, He loved me. He loved me. We've seen the grace of His love, the greatness of His love. Number three, we see the gift of His love. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. He gave. Again, we are reminded He didn't have to give. That is unbelievable in and of itself. But He did give. He gave His only begotten Son, the gift of His love. Old Testament sacrifice, it was the best lamb. It was the best bullock. It was the best turtle dove. God gave His best. The Old Testament, we see it over and over. The best. I want the best. Give the best. Why? Because God knew He was giving His best. And if you're poor, it still better be your best. And if you're rich, it better be your best. Because God gave His best. The gift of His love, He gave. His only begotten Son. The Savior's love. 180. One of my favorite songs. 180. Hope you're getting it today. First verse. There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? There's nothing like it. Absolutely nothing like it. And it's a gift. Boy, when you go soul winning, it almost seems... sometimes it seems impossible to believe that anybody would say, I don't want it. And they do, don't they? You did. I did. I didn't get saved the first time I heard the plan of salvation. I didn't get saved the first time I heard somebody preach on it. I didn't get saved as people talked to me and witnessed to me and showed me and even went through Scripture. I didn't get saved. But you know what? I kept going back to the fact that it's a gift. What do I have to do? Oh, I was a long-haired hippie. What do I have to cut my hair? No, you don't have to cut your hair. I was a heathen. Do I have to quit cussing? No. It's not something you do. It's what he did. Glory to God. I mean, honestly, folks, we have the greatest message. We have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the message of our Savior's love to take into all the world. He gave his only begotten Son. Number three, the gift of his love. Number four is the goal of his love. What's that? Whosoever believeth in him. In verse 17, it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Hey, the world was already condemned. Jesus didn't come to condemn. Jesus came to save. Jesus came, it says in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The law that we don't keep, that condemns you. Thou shalt not, that condemned me. Thou shalt, that condemned me. Jesus didn't come to condemn. You know what he came to die on a cross to pay for my sin. And his goal, the goal of our Savior's love, is that whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or as it says in verse 15, eternal life. Wow. Believeth. Go to Romans 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Romans 10 and verse 9. There's so many verses that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believeth. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Somebody said, well, you Baptists, you believe in easy believism. If it's so easy, why wouldn't you get saved? I can tell you this, it's not easy believism, because I didn't get saved until several years after the first time I heard the gospel. And every time I was confronted sitting on that third pew and lost as I could be, it sure wasn't easy. Never was it easy. Oh, but it was so wonderful to call on the Lord Jesus and to know that you're saved and to know that you have eternal life. The goal of his love is that we believe. That we believe. That we trust him. That we call upon him. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know the story in Numbers chapter 21. You know the story. Children of Israel had to, because of their sin, God sent fiery serpents among them that bit them and made them sick unto death. God said, make a brazen serpent, a serpent out of brass, and put it on a pole and put it in the midst of all the people. And he said, now you have to look on that. You have to believe. And you have to look on that, and you'll be healed. And you won't die. And that serpent was... Can you imagine what that was like? Honestly, think about that. Hey, if you look, if you just look upon this brazen serpent, you'll live. People are foaming at the mouth. People are in pain. People are writhing in pain. They're about to die. And I promise you, as we saw at the fair, as we see on soul winning, as we see on our bus routes, as we see out here in the community, I promise you there will be some that will say, I ain't looking. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to look. No way. No way. I'm not going to look. No, I'm doing this. I'm lighting candles. I ring a bell at church. No, I'm not going to look. Now, I like my fun. I like my sin. I like doing what I want to do. And I'm not going to look. And why won't they look? Well, because they don't believe. They just don't believe. Wouldn't you believe enough to call on Him? Wouldn't you believe enough so you could be saved and not go to hell? Wouldn't you believe enough to just call on Jesus? He didn't say climb the pole. He didn't say get your wallet out and pay for the brass that was used to make the serpent. He just said believe. Just look. Just look. No. No. Hard to believe, isn't it? You know your need. You just need to believe in the solution. Act on your belief. My Savior's love, the goal, is that I believe. 173, just about finished. 173, don't you love this song? 173, first verse. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. That's it. Sinking, sinking, sinking. What are you going to do? Well, all you got to do is just look. Believe. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The goal of His love. My Savior's love. Just believe. Believe. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number five is the guarantee of His love. Back in John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's it say? John 13 and verse 1. Go there real quick. John 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Unto the end. And you know what? For someone who has eternal, everlasting, there is no end. And that means His love is ever bit as eternal and everlasting and as our salvation. The guarantee of His love, that they should not perish, but have everlasting life. How sad. There are so many religions out there and cults and isms and everything else where you know, somebody has their thumb on you where if you just slip up one time, buddy, you're going to perish. I don't care what you did in the past. You're going to be in big trouble with God. If you mess up, just aren't you glad? You know why you ought to be glad? Because you do mess up. I don't care who you are. I don't care how great a Christian you are. You still mess up. And I'm so glad that I have everlasting life. Should not perish. How do you argue, John? You know, I was in Bern, Indiana, and of course, Dar—that's where Dar is from—and Dar actually was a Nazarene in Bern, Indiana, when we started our church, and she pretty much gave me all kinds of trouble at first with the idea you could lose your salvation. And what a wonderful thing when she finally got it. Amen. She not got salvation, but she got that it is salvation. What is salvation if you can lose your salvation? What is salvation? What kind of salvation? You perish at the end of salvation. Huh? What kind of life that promises everlasting life, but instead you die? Oh, no. Everlasting, eternal, should not perish. Amen? Amen. There's a guarantee. That's His love. It's all based on the Savior's love. Huh? That's it. It's unto the end. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He's long-suffering. You know, somebody said, why hasn't Jesus come yet? He's long-suffering. He wants your neighbor to get saved. He wants your mom to get saved. He wants your dad to get saved. He wants your co-workers to get saved. He's long-suffering. Why can't we understand that? Had He come when I was 16, I'd be in hell today. Are you listening? Had I died before I turned 17, or even when I first turned 17, I was saved in the fall of my 17th year, I'd have gone to hell. He's long-suffering. He loves. But there's a guarantee with it. Look at Romans 8, verse 35. Romans 8. I have one more point after this, so do not worry. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? By the way, God's people have gone through all those things. And they're never separated from the love of Christ. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Why? Because His love is always there. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's a guarantee. Guarantee. 175. Guarantee. His love. You say, I'm going through trials. I've got some tough things. I've got hard decisions to make. 175. His love. A friend I have called Jesus, whose love is strong and true, and never fails howe'er 'tis tried, no matter what I do. I've sinned against this love of His, but when I knelt to pray, confessing all my guilt to Him, the sin clouds rolled away. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like His great love. Wow. Just like Jesus to keep me day by day. Whew. I love it on Wednesday nights. I guess one of the favorite songs I Want That Mountain is one of the favorite songs about every Wednesday night, but there's another one, Day by Day. Pretty much every Wednesday night, Bus Kids, Day by Day, and With Each Passing Moment. Why? Because that's where we live. And the guarantee of His love, if it's raining, He loves me. Storm clouds, He loves me. Doctor says it doesn't look good. Well, it looks good with His love. Economy bad? Oh, yeah. He loves me. Always. It's a guarantee. Guarantee. Guarantee of His love. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Number one, I talked about the grace of His love. Number two, the greatness of His love. Number three, the gift of His love. Number four is the goal of His love. Number five, the guarantee of His love. And then number six is the glory of His love, my Savior's love, the glory of His love. Wow. When Brent and I first met, I had to somehow convince her no one could ever love you like I do. Now, had she not said yes when I proposed to her, actually, I didn't really, I just said we're getting married, and she went along with it. But if she hadn't gone along with it, she never would have found that out. You know, all the lost people in the world, they don't know. They're going to look at you tonight. We are having church tonight, by the way. Yeah. Amen. And they're going to look at you tonight, and they're going to say, look at those nuts. They got their bag of Doritos, and they've got their chip dips and their Chipotle stuff, and they're all that kind of stuff, and their wings, and hallelujah for wings, amen. And they got all this stuff, and it's all required for the Super Bowl. And they're getting all hunkered down when you drive out of your driveway and head to church. They don't get it. They don't. I hope you get it. The reason I hope you get it is because it's His glory. He saved me. We were down at, and I'll tell you more about this tonight, at Seagate Baptist Church in Naples, Florida. Never been there, didn't know anybody, didn't know anything about it. And then it's amazing what all we found out. But anyway, we were down there, and we went on Sunday and everything. And on Sunday, we said, well, we'll see y'all tonight. And people looked at us like, you will? Yeah, we'll see you tonight. You know, what time's church tonight? Huh? And I thought, huh. Well, then that night we came, and they actually had a stewardship banquet. But you know, we show up. We went and bought a whole bucket of chicken. You know, you always got to bring food, amen. And anyway, after the service, said, what time's church on Wednesday night? And they look, huh? So Wednesday night, what time's your service? You have church, don't you? Yeah, well, it's at 7 o'clock. I said, well, we'll see you then. The pastor said, Pastor, you don't understand. He said, we have people come here all the time. Pastors, missionaries, people come here all the time. They don't usually, when they're on vacation, they don't always. And I just looked at him like, oh, you got to be kidding. By the way, I mean that. You got to be kidding me. My Savior. The glory of His love. It's us. It's us. How can I give God glory? You know, we want to praise the Lord. You know, we hear about praise services all the time. They got praise teams now. You know, a lot of church. You know, bring out the praise team. They come out in their blue jeans and tee. And again, I don't care if that's best you got. Best you got. That's fine. But they're all bebopping out here and there. You know, oh yeah. You know, and they're praising God and all that kind of stuff. And I think no. You're missing it. It's not your words that you say. It's the life you live. It's what are you doing with what He did for you? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And the glory of His love is you. It's me. Amen. When we believe, when we accept by faith what He did, and when He changes us and we're transformed, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Some people say, well, you know, if God loved people, he wouldn't send people to hell. You missed it. He doesn't send anybody to hell. Man is condemned already. He's condemned to hell because he sinned against God. No, he provided a way so you wouldn't have to go to hell. Our biggest problem, honestly, is we question God's love. There's Christians here questioning God. Yeah, you know what? If you just quit questioning God's love, you'd smile all the time. You could rejoice all the time. Well, it's raining. He doesn't love me. Has absolutely nothing to do with it. Well, I broke my leg. He doesn't love me. It has absolutely nothing to do with whether he loves you or not. Well, you know, I don't have my job anymore, or I got a pay cut, or they cut my hours, or whatever thing it might be. Listen to me. It has nothing to do with whether God loves you or not. Calvary proves. And the glory of his love, it's us. It's you. Do you bring glory to him? Is your life bringing glory to the love of the Savior? I mean, honestly, that's what it's about. 185 and we're done. 185. Back to my Savior's love. The title of the message, the Savior's love. 185. The last verse. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. If somehow you got cheated, somehow, you know, in life you got ripped off, somehow in life the economy did you wrong, or your health did you wrong, or you lost all your hair, or you've lost all your teeth, or people don't seem to like you, your car never runs, and your stove is broken, your washing machine doesn't work. If somehow you just really got ripped off, I mean, it's just bad. Everything's bad in your life. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. And you know what? Why wait till then? Why not do it now? How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. But I'm not going to wait till I enter into heaven's glory. Oh, that'd be foolish. No, I'm going to sing it now. Is my Savior's love for me. Let's bow our heads, please.